Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good evening, everyone. This is Tamara Cosley Robinson, your host for tonight's show. And we're going to be talking about birth and rebirth, seeing the world through brand new lens. So birth, basically, we're going to be talking about reinventing ourselves and what that means and maybe even the process that comes about when we're doing it and, you know, just a whole bunch of things will come up in this conversation. And so I have two of my co-hosts here on the radio network who are here with me this evening to talk about reinvention, and I'll have them introduce themselves to you. I will introduce myself, and we will jump into the conversation. And so, Veronica Taylor, if you could please introduce yourself and share with our radio listeners who you are and what you do.
Thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me to this great topic today. I'm extremely thrilled to be back on Blog Talk Radio. I've been absent for quite a while, and we'll probably touch base in regards to why that is throughout this conversation. But again, for our listeners, my name is Veronica Taylor, and I'm the founder of Life Leaders Coaching, and I am a certified leadership coach. And my focus is to accelerate, speed up, and deepen the connection between C-level executives and their admin staff. And I combine my coaching expertise along with 17 years of corporate experience. And I've worked with all C-level executives from Fortune 500 companies that employ 30,000 employees down to smaller organizations that might employ just a little as 20 people. And my broad experience really has led me to truly understand the challenges both professionals face on a day-to-day basis. And my end goal is to build a partnership for them that fosters mutual respect, innovation, passion, and lasting success. And if anybody's interested in reaching me, they could do so at my website, which is lifeleaderscoaching.com, or you could email me at veronica@lifeleaderscoaching.com, or you can call me directly at 415-967-1606. And thank you for having me again.
Thank you so much, Veronica. It's interesting, when I read your bio, and I was like, wow, there's a whole lot of folks who can use that service because it is a delicate walk, you know, for leaders and the folks who support them.
Absolutely.
So, yes, thank you so much. And Jennifer Flynn, if you could please introduce yourself and share with our listening audience who you are and what you do.
Well, hello. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Jennifer Flynn. I'm the Balance Maven. I work with high-achieving professionals who are caught up in the chokehold of stress and have lost this or feel like they're losing the war between work and play. And I help them bring back that balance and reignite the spark for their career and what they love and give them back that free time that allows them to enjoy the journey. You can find me at thebalancemaven.com or on the Life Coach Radio Network Meet the Coaches page, where there's also all my little social network links.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's great to have you on the show. It's been a while since I've worked with both of you guys, so I'm looking forward to tonight's conversation. For all of our listening audience, my name is Tamara Cosley Robinson, and I am CEO and founder of Cosley Robinson & Associates. And basically, I help folks with life and career transitions. And, you know, whether we plan transitions for ourselves or those things called life that just happens and creates change for us, sometimes it can be very tough to adjust, to even believe that it's happening. And what I do is help folks to get to a place where they are accepting of change and really just refocusing and reinventing a life that they're looking to have based on authenticity and just based on their values and what they want in their next step in their life. And so you can find me at dare2doitnow.com. That's my website. My email is tamara@daretodoitnow.com. And you can reach me by phone at 877-804-4148. All right. So got the intros out of the way. And for our listening audience, if you are interested in joining this conversation, asking a question, or if you have a comment, we would love to hear from you. The number is 646-716-9397. Again, the number to dial in is 646-716-9397. All right, so we're going to jump into this meaty topic of rebirth. And you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is to ask both of you guys, and Veronica, we'll start with you. What does birth and rebirth mean to you? What is reinvention from your perspective and your point of view?
From my point of view, I feel that it can happen in many different ways, and it has happened to me more than once, more than twice, actually, in my lifetime. I think the first time that I would say or consider having a rebirth was when I changed from my original career, which I was an administrative professional since I was right out of high school. So I had that profession under my belt for over 17 years now, and then I decided to obviously start my coaching practice, and that's my new career, my new venture. So for me to go from being an administrative professional and having that career shift, there was a period of transition, there was a period of struggle, and obviously I came through the other side as a totally different person and a totally different professional. And the second time that I think has been the most meaningful for me thus far has been me becoming a mother for the first time. And for people who have had children can really understand what that means. You know, you start being this person prior to being a parent, and you're almost unrecognizable after the fact. And it's something that doesn't happen right away, which with any change that we all experience in life, there are moments that we go through and periods that we go through that actually take you through that change. And it's a journey that we all embark on, no matter what's actually taking you there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that's interesting. There's a lot of things that you mentioned in your definition of just reinventing yourself and what it means to you. What stood out to me the most is unrecognizable, right? We really get used to, because, you know, I think we get used to seeing ourselves in a certain light, and people get used to seeing and experiencing us in certain ways. And, you know, we just don't anticipate that when things change, it can change other aspects of our life.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a trickle effect. It's all interconnected. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, Jennifer, how do you define reinvention, or how has it played itself out in your life, in your walk?
Well, I would say that I have a very, you know, I would say that two of the things that stood out to me were also things that you guys already mentioned, but because definitely going from motherhood, and I think not just from no children to children, but I think with each child, there's a rebirth, because that child brings something completely new to the table. It requires a completely different interaction and skill set, because they're all, you know, wired so individually. I would swear that my children aren't even the same species of animal most of the time, because they're so completely different. I can't believe that these people came from the same genetic pool. but there they are. And so there's, I think with each child, there's definitely been a shift in who I am as a person, who I am as a mother. But definitely I've had my career path, and any of our listeners who followed have on the various shows have followed that I, you know, went from, you know, corporate work to being an entrepreneur. And so I think there's a huge shift there in a rebirth around being an employee and now being somewhat unemployable because I've been bitten by that bug in such a way that I'm not sure that I could ever go back to being employed. And there's definitely a rebirth there with respect to, you know, how I view myself and my time, and shifting from a space of, you know, trading hours for dollars and, you know, to a different mode of income and how I move about the world, and, you know, and creating an exchange for services and being, you know, okay with that. It's hard to self-promote. So I've definitely seen a professional, you know, professional development. But if I look back over the course of life, there's definitely a huge shift from even who I was in my teen and early 20s years to who I am as a woman approaching 40. It's a whole different thing. I mean, I would say I'm kind of looking forward to 40 while I really had a hard time with 30, which seems kind of funny. But there's just a definite rebirth of, you know, a different level of self-awareness and comfort in your own skin, and just really being right with who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Powerful, indeed. And to that last point, there's nothing like your 40s. There's something that happens. And you'll understand it better once you get there. There's nothing like your 40s. And when I talked to my friends, they were like, well, if you enjoyed your 40s, wait till you get to your 50s. And I'm like, yay, I can't wait. You know, I don't know that I've always felt like I can't wait. But like you said, your different life experiences, just, you know, when you're walking in that journey and you're doing what you do, you're like, good Lord, the 30s for me were all, not painful, but, you know, there was just a lot of self-defining moments. And, you know, certainly based on the topic that we're discussing, you know, it was, you know, I think all of us, when we really think about it, the adjustment from staying at home and then going to school for the first time, and then going from those grade levels where you know everybody to the point where the next grade up, you won't know anybody. So 8th grade to 9th grade is like bananas. And senior year in high school to a freshman in college is crazy. And then a graduating senior out of college to whatever that next step is after college is then another iteration of what it means to just be a different person and living and growing within yourself, but still outside yourself, if that makes any sense. You know,
absolutely.
You're just still trying to, yeah, you're just really trying to figure it out. And when you look at yourself in hindsight, you can say, oh my God, was that me? Was that really me? But you know, you have to grow, and a lot of times it's through experiences. And so, you know, when I think about rebirth and reinvention, you know, being single and going from being single to being married, wow, that was crazy. That was a big step, you
yeah.
know. You know, having your own space and doing your own thing. And now it's not just about you. It's about you and, you know, that other person and all of the family and people and friends. And sometimes it's drama and sometimes it's just a whole lot of stuff. And that's a big step, too. Big step.
Absolutely. I can completely relate to that. I feel like that was one transition for me that obviously I transitioned into it with with choice and a lot of love, but that did not mean that it didn't come with a lot of challenges too. And you're absolutely right. You are going from, you know, being one to now considering a totally different human being who thinks, acts, you know, completely different from you and has their own personal values, you know, and you have to be 100% considerate of that if you want it to last for the long haul.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is that period of struggle with that as well, you know, and I'm sure the same thing goes for someone who goes from married to divorce. There's always that period in time that I think a lot of us, and I remember going through that as well, is that when there's change or growth, you know, there's that period of uncertainty that literally limits us because we become fearful. And we want to hold yeah. on to whatever is or used to be. And I know you and I, Tamara, were having this conversation before we went on air, and we were talking about when we struggle and we try so hard and we grip to keep from something happening to us or for us, actually, that, you know, we actually cause more pain for ourselves than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, and it's so not necessary, and it's only in hindsight that you can see that I could have just allowed myself to be less stressed about this if I could just let go, but like you said, Veronica, you know, it is the familiar that normally will keep us in a place, even when we know it's not good for us to be in that place. But you know, the pain of holding on seems doable because the unknown is just too scary to even fathom. It's like if I don't understand or know what's next, why not just hold on to this? And so when we're able to let go, and that's a process in itself. Sometimes it's like one fingernail at a time. You know, you have the death grip on it. You know, the white knuckles and all. You're like, no, I don't want to let go.
But when you do, sometimes the pain point's not high enough.
Well, you know what? Tell me more about that.
I always kind of think of that, the old story about the man who walks by the down the street and goes by the guy's porch, his neighbor's porch, and the dog's whining on the porch. And he's like, hey, mister, why is your dog whining? He said, well, he's laying on a nail. Well, why doesn't he move? Because it doesn't hurt bad enough yet. And I think, you know, there's a balance between the fear, you know, being in your comfort zone, even if it's something dysfunctional or not serving you. But there's also that pain point that comes into play. You know, we think about some schools of thought will say that, you know, human decision is based on one of two things, pain or pleasure, and one of them has to outweigh the other to create action. And depending on, you know, what someone's threshold for pain is, you know, whichever side you're trying to move towards, it's got to tip the scale and outweigh the other. And some people have, you know, they have to hit what some of us seems like an extremely high pain threshold. You know, it's what they talk about people who've got addiction or things like that. You know, they talk about your bottom, and some people have a higher bottom than others. And it's really just about your reality and your perception. You know, when you see that change needs to be created, it's easy to recognize that change needs to be created or that you want to see this shift in your life, but sometimes you don't have that scale tipping far enough to create the action.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually very insightful.
Yeah, very true. And as you, and when you said that, that's why I had to chuckle, because I'm like, been there. A couple of times.
I think we all have. And we find out just how high of a pain threshold we have for some things. And sometimes you don't realize how high that threshold for abuse was whether you were inflicting on yourself or through an experience you weren't getting out of or whatever the case might be, a bad job, a bad relationship, just being unhappy with the way you're moving about the world. But you don't realize how high that threshold was until you come the other side of it and you look back and it's like, why did I wait so long? This is glorious over here. But you don't know until you know, because you didn't hit your threshold.
Right.
And I think also that it's part of self-perception for me. I feel like, you know, I grew up with this notion that was practically beat into my head that, you know, you're not a quitter. You don't quit. You stick it through.
Yeah.
You know, and I resonated with that for a really, really long time. And that's really what kept me gripping onto things that no longer served me for much longer than necessary. And maybe it was necessary because I feel like things happen for a reason. But, you know, I really believed in that, you know, you're not a quitter. And what I realized through, you know, a lot of these rebirths and transitions and journeys that I've gone through in life is that, you know what, just because you know when to stop doesn't mean that you're a quitter.
That's right.
And I had to relearn that. And it was like losing, you know, my ability to walk, and I had to relearn how to walk. And it was the most liberating thing that I could have ever done for myself. And that was just something that was instilled in me. So we have to start thinking of when we come to the realization that we're in a situation that no longer serves us, you know, start thinking about the things or the things that we're doing or even thinking on a daily basis that might be keeping us there. And for me, it was that, you know, you're not a quitter. So you keep chugging along.
Yes. Wow, that's
a great
big
point.
That is a huge point.
It reminds me of a little story. I had a friend, you know, you don't really think about this that much, and we kind of laughed about it at the time, but we were talking about, you know, quitting smoking. And, you know, I asked him how the quitting smoking was going or whatnot, and he said, nobody likes a quitter. And what an interesting, you know, we laughed about it, funny, ha-ha, but, you know, when you put it in that perspective that we get conditioned against quitting anything, that, you know, it can affect the negative, you know, even negative experiences in our life that we, you know, quote, should let go of. We get conditioned in that never giving up and just, you know, never throwing in the towel and not realizing that that's not really what it's about. It's about updating belief systems, behaviors, experiences that don't serve us any longer with things that do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I thought about as soon as you said that, Veronica, there's like a million things just flashed in my head. And there's this thing that happens when we serve a certain role, either in our families or in our circle of friends. And there's this thing called, you know, like this, you're strong. You're so strong to be going through all of this. And people see that strength and they build off that strength. And they, you know, sometimes you feel like if they only knew, I'm like barely hanging on by a thread, but they, you know, other people see this or perceive this as being strong. Am I ready to not be strong or whatever that is, right? Am I, you know, I don't know if it's ego or I don't know if it's just kind of living up to other people's expectations based on how you're handling a certain situation, but it has nothing to do with strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back on something that I was going through and I said, you know what? I'm just going to just let go. I can't hold on any longer, right? So I guess my threshold for pain was just like, you know, forget it. I can't do it anymore. And you know, some people are like, but I thought you had it. You know, I thought you didn't listen. Just because I never said anything didn't mean that I had it together. I was suffering in silence because, you know, at some point you're afraid to actually say you need help or whatever because people have seen you in such a way. So it's almost a double-edged sword sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah. You know, also recognize that, you know, we all have currencies and they come in different shapes and forms. There's obviously the monetary currency. There's emotional currency. There's spiritual currency. We do things for currency. If we didn't get a payoff off of it, we wouldn't do it. So for a lot of us, and I've seen this with people very close to me, people that I love, they're in certain circumstances that they're fighting so hard. They've been sitting on that nail, Jennifer, for years. And they are bleeding out. However, the currency that they get out of it is that emotional one, that, oh, poor you. God, oh, I feel so bad for you. It's terrible what's happening to you or what they're doing to you or whatever the case may be. So really do that self-awareness that Jennifer talked about earlier, which, you know, comes with going through the journey is of self-awareness. You know, why are we doing the things that we do? You know, whether it's good for us or bad for us, what is your payoff? What is your payoff? And once we realize that and we acknowledge and validate it, it becomes something that we can control versus it controlling us.
Yes. Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Truth.
That's the big
story. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
That's a lot of people forget that they have the power to control things versus it controlling them. And it's easy. I think we've probably all been in the position where we've given up the power. And certainly, rarely in my life would I say, oh, here, let me wrap this up in a pretty bow for you. Have it. No. And you don't realize you give it away until you're not walking around with it anymore.
Right. And a lot of times it's within reach, right? You know, someone
you know
who takes. Oh my God! Absolutely. And there's so many things that it's like, you know, I can see it. I can, it's palpable. I can touch it. I can, but it seems like, you know, one millisecond. You know, you're just trying to get to that next space, and you. You don't stretch, right? It's almost as if you're stretching to reach something, and if you just stretch just a little bit more, you can touch it. You know, you can get a chance to feel it. So, interesting.
Sometimes it's like
love
having
it.
Your pocket picked. You just turn around and realize, well, it's not there.
Yeah.
You know, I've had it literally sneak up on me, and I've had somebody have to say to me, yeah, well, it looks to me like you just gave your power away. Why don't you take it back? And I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean I don't have it? You start checking your pockets, and it's missing. And then you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Why don't I just take that back?
Why don't I? Yeah. Interesting. So for those of our listening audience who are listening to this broadcast live and would like to join in our conversation, it really absolutely enhances what we talk about, and we would love for you to join in this conversation. The number to dial in is 646-716-9397. Again, the number is 646-716-9397. If you can believe it, ladies, it's 29 minutes after the hour, so we are partway through our show, which always goes a little bit too fast for my liking. but I'm going to do a short break to talk a little bit about our sponsor. But before I do, I want to give you something to think about we can jump into the second half of our conversation. And so we've been talking a bit about, you know, what kind of happens to create a space for us to be in a place where we are changing, whether it's change through choice or just change through circumstance. And we've talked a lot about, you know, what the struggles that come about, what creates a space for us to get up off of that pain point and do something different. I want to start the second half to try to talk about solutions. We talked a little bit about solutions, but, you know, what would you, this is the question I want you to ponder, and we'll come back to it. What would you tell someone, or what advice would you give about how to get off of that pain, that painful place? How does one who is so entrenched in the situation, how do they start to see their way through? All right. So ponder that, and I'll talk a little bit about Audible.com. And so our sponsor for this evening's broadcast is Audible.com, and they're a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. There's more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, and it's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you get one free book and a 1 month trial of the service. And so, you know, I love Audible. I actually have a subscription to Audible. And around the subject that we're talking about tonight, I did a search on reinventing. And there's tons of different books out there about, you know, reinventing yourself. One that kind of caught my eye, it's called Blind Curves, A Woman, a Motorcycle, and a Journey to Reinvent Herself. I'm like, ooh, that's intriguing. And there's another, Earth, the sequel, The Race to Reinvent Energy and Stop Global Warming. You know, there's just reinvention all over the place. Here's one that's near and dear to me. Reboot Your Career, 27 Ways to Reinvent Yourself in the Workplace If You Still Have a Job. So, you know, Audible is a great way to take in a book if you don't want to engage in reading a book with your eyes and listening to it being narrate it to you. Just a different way to take it in, and one that we would love for you to try. So go to audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio for your free audio book and a 1 month trial of the service. All right. So we got that administrative tidbit out the way. So Jennifer, you know, what would you say to someone who is, you know, really struggling with taking that first step towards, you know, that new place for themselves, you know, called that rebirth or that reinvention? What advice would you give?
Well, I think the first step really is the acknowledgement and the awareness around the fact that you've hit the pain point and you want to get off the nail. But what most people struggle mm-hmm. with is, I know I need to get off the nail, but where do I go? Or what's next? Right. Or how do I create the change? And so I think that, you know, the first step is to get really clear about, you know, where you're going and believing you can get there. And so, you know, one of the ways that I work with clients to help them get that clarity is, you know, often we have to first approach it from a place of contrast, because we know we don't like where we are, but it doesn't necessarily mean we know where we want to be. So being able to get clarity around the fact that we're not loving the space we're in, and really just sitting down and let's get all that negativity out for a second. What are all the things I hate about the situation I'm in right now? What do I not love? What is not awesome about my existence in this space? And then the important key being, for every one of those items, just 1 through 100, whatever, however many it is, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 20, maybe it's 100, maybe it's more. But for every one of those things, what do I want? I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't want this. But the important key here is you can't leave it there. And for each one of those things, what do I want? And through that path of contrast, being able to get some clarity around where you want to go. And I think once you have that clarity of what you do want it to look like, how you do want to feel, then it's a lot easier to come up with some actionable items you can take towards that vision And as you go through that exercise of establishing what is meaningful, what does feel good, then you start to, just as a byproduct, believe you can achieve it. And I think believing it and vision are the two big things that need to happen in order for you, once you reach that point where you know you want to change, you have to believe you can, and you have to know what comes next.
Wow. Awesome. Wow. Great points. Wonderful points. And you're right. A lot of times people will not, and I'll say I, you know, when you it's like, well, I don't know where to go. Great point. Great point. But you got to start somewhere, right? You got to start, you know, getting out those feelings about what is it about the situation. Maybe it's not 100% of the situation, but maybe the 30% that hurts the worst is causing mm-hmm. that pain. And maybe even just being able to verbalize that is big.
Take stock.
It does. It really does. Yeah, absolutely. And so, Veronica, before we go to you to answer that question and or to add on, we do have a caller. So, caller with the 847 area code, please go ahead and ask your question or share your comment. Caller with the 847 area code.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey there. Great show so far. I do have a question, and maybe it's surrounding knowing some of the traps that would cause you to stay in that place. One of them that comes to mind is analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
Where you might spend too much time thinking about that. So I guess the question would be, you know, you brought up a great thing about going through the list and finding out what you don't like and maybe some of the things you would like. What other tools would you recommend for working through a particular process?
This is Veronica. I'd like to answer that. Who am I speaking with?
It's Scott.
Oh, Scott. One of the things that I would suggest, Scott, would be to definitely start looking for a support group or someone that you trust, someone that has gone through something similar, or someone who has just gone through a hard time, and start really putting yourself around people who will uplift you versus who are trying to keep you where you are. I feel like when we're trying to transition into something new or different, or we have gotten to the point where we want something better for ourselves, people around us are going to want to keep us where we are because that's what's comfortable to them. So I would say definitely reach out to people, meet new people that can help you kind of slowly pull you out of whatever it is that you are trying to leave behind.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's a great point, Veronica. And I think the one thing that I would also say is that, you know, there are times when we build trust with the people around us, and we believe in all good faith that they do have our best interest in mind and in heart. And it is quite the realization when you find out that. Sometimes it is because it keeps them in a comfortable place, or it benefits them for you to stay, to be quite honest, right? It's like, well, if you leave, that means I have a whole lot of stuff to do, and I kind of want you to stay in that space. I think the other thing to think about, and maybe it would be helpful to have someone to do this with you, maybe a trained professional or a coach, but visioning, you know, what if you were able to close your eyes and talk about not the situation that you're in, but if you had it your way, if you had a magic wand, what would it look like? And, you know, when you give people a little bit of space to just think outside the box, if I had it my way, this is what it would look like. That could be something that could be an exercise that even surprises you as to some of the things that you think about that could be an ideal situation for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Have we answered your question, Scott?
You sure have. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in. That was a great question. Great question. Is there anything else that you had for us?
Nope. We're all set for now. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. All right, Veronica, anything to add to Jennifer's point or anything based on the question that Scott brought to us?
Yeah, I think, you know, my suggestion to anyone listening who's struggling through something right now and is ready to move on, I would say my personal experience, you know, the transition that I went through was quite painful. And we talked about sitting on that nail, and I was sitting on that nail for many, many years. And what's really interesting is that, you know, when the change came for me, it was made for me. And that's another point that I would like to make. Sometimes rebirths and births or journeys that we go through are by choice, and sometimes we're shoved into them. And mm-hmm. for me, that was the case. I had a terrible falling out with someone that I really, really loved, and literally within the same week, I lost my job. So for me, I felt like my whole entire world was upside down in a matter of days. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where I was headed. Everything that I knew that was real no longer made sense. So for me, the best thing that I did in that moment was just silence. I had to do something drastically different than what I had ever done before. And I went and took myself to a Buddhist temple up in the Santa Cruz Mountains for 2 days, and didn't speak for 2 days. I meditated for 2 days. I walked through the woods for 2 days. I didn't have interactions with anybody for 2 days. And I just sat in stillness, and I didn't know in the moment what it meant or what was supposed to come of it. I just knew that I had to do something drastic. And that's really where my journey started, was in a spiritual one, really. So that would be a great place to start, would be if you're religious, go to your church, or if you're spiritual in whatever, you know, you're into, go through that guidance, if good or comfortable to you. And again, like I told Scott, it's really important that you start really involving yourself with people who want to empower you, who really have your best interests at heart, and start moving in that direction. And it takes little steps. It's not going to happen mm-hmm. overnight.
There was a lot in that, meaty. Whew, thank you so much for that, Veronica. Wow. Just breathing that in. I think your point about doing something drastically different is great insight and great advice. And there is something about silence that bothers people. It's like, oh my gosh! But there's so much in silence that you can actually hear. I know it sounds crazy, but you get to hear something totally different when you are not contributing to the noise around you.
Right.
And the noise, yeah, the noise is in quotes, right?
Absolutely. The chatter around you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm in a not necessarily similar situation, but right now I'm going through a transition of my own and doing something totally different, and moving on from a career that spanned 19 years in one firm. And it took me a while to just even think about the possibility of it actually being something that can happen. Although I had taken steps years and years and years ago to be able to land have a soft landing, if you will. But still, it's hard to kind of fathom, and you kind of unravel it, and you can't necessarily see yourself outside of it. But then again, you know, how was I defining myself? And I had to come to grips with and be honest with myself about, you know, who I am and how am I looking at who I am. And it's much bigger than any one role in any one company. So why would I limit myself that way? And so one of the first things I'm going to do is sit down. You know, people are like, well, you got a job, right? I said, mm-mm, nope. They're like, Tamara, you don't look like you shouldn't do that. I said, who shouldn't do what? I mean, I've already made the decision that I am going to sit still. I am going to sit down. I've been working since I've been 14, you know, hustler, been working for a long time. And I think for me to be able to sit down and not do a gazillion things at one time for a period of time is not going to kill me. If anything, I'm going to be able to figure it out because a lot of that noise will be taken away.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's huge. It's a huge thing, man. Crazy. You know, I'll be
crazy good.
Crying like it's crazy good. Yeah, absolutely. But for me to be able to say it, that's the journey, man. Forget about it. A year ago, I was like, no, you know, when I talked about the fingernails, one fingernail at a time, I wasn't talking about anybody else but me.
you overcame the law of inertia.
Yes.
You took a step in that direction, and look at the momentum that came behind it.
Yeah.
That created the situation that allows you to step away from what you've been doing. And, you know, if you don't want to keep getting what you've been getting, then stop doing what you've been doing. And you did that.
Yeah. 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 How about that? But we still do want the outcomes, though, don't we? It's like, well, what do we
do?
You know, because we're logical people. Yes. We're all very logical. We know. We know good and well that it's not going to do it, but
all you did was pull over to the, now what you're doing is you decided to pull over and you're going to go a different way and you're just going to stop, fill up with gas and consult your map and decide where you're going.
Yeah.
Love it.
And that's another thing that I'd like to add to that point is that when you do have that moment of silence and stillness is when you buy yourself that fraction, even if it's a fraction of a moment, where you can choose to make a decision from love versus fear. And a lot of us make a lot of choices, impactful choices in our lives based on fear. And it's because we don't give ourselves that moment, that split second of silence, and remove ourselves from the chatter, that we miss that opportunity to make that choice from love. And I'm a true believer that when we make a choice from love, everything falls into place. Everything.
Mm. Veronica, you're in the zone, honey. Love it.
Don't even know how to top that.
I know. I was like, okay, we can end this, right?
Got some advertisement
or
something to offer.
I know. That is so profound and so true that when we make those snap decisions, that's the time when it's like, you know, we end up having to make other snap decisions to get us out of what we just decided to do. And these are critical decisions that we're making based on, you know, fear is very powerful. Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. My Lord, that was great. Thank you for that wisdom.
You're welcome.
Yeah, just breathing that one in. That was great. Wow. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. Okay. So, you know, I think what I'll do at this point is share with our listening audience some of the other shows that are coming up on our different networks. Before I do that, I'll give you guys a little preview to what I want you to, and honestly, I don't know how we can just bypass or just top what you just said, Veronica, but I love to end the shows that I host with words of wisdom that each of us would like to share with our listening audience. And, you know, just let it be whatever's in your heart, or whatever's on the top of your head, that you would like for our listeners to take away from this discussion about reinventing ourselves and living that authentic life that we always want to live. And so I will start with the radio station that we are on tonight, and that's the Life Coach Radio Network. And so on Friday at 12 noon, it's Nika Anand and her show Create Your Bliss, and she's going to be interviewing Dr. John Pilch. And so Dr. Pilch is a leading expert in social scientific interpretation of the Bible, and he argues that ancient accounts of alternate consciousness are both plausible and significant. And so they're going to be talking about John's journey. John's journey in Revelations. And so lots of biblical accounts of what's happening in Revelations, and that's what the show will be about this coming Friday at 12 noon. On Saturday at 1:30, it's Maisha Avery Talks Healthy Lifestyle 101. And she's just going to be talking about the basics of a healthy lifestyle. On Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Fly Conversation with Annette Johnson, the Fly Coach. And her coach this Sunday is about women's empowerment. And she's going to be interviewing women who exemplify empowered living. Special guests will share their journey, their lessons learned, wisdom, and insight. So that's this Sunday at 7 p.m. On our Life Coach chat channel, on Thursday, that's tomorrow at 8 p.m., it's Finding Balance, What the Martial Art of Aikido Can Teach Us About Our Health. That sounds very interesting. Sounds very interesting. And so that's what this whole show is about. It's if you know, and it can be for those who have practiced Aikido or those who are very new, just learning about how this fascinating form of martial arts can teach you important lessons on how to attain better balance in your life and gain better health. On that same channel, on Friday at 12 noon, it's Business Lunch with OB. Leveraging Emotion, Effective Connections, and Energy. And so it's going to be 60 minutes of the host, Michael O'Brien, and he's going to be talking with, he's not talking with anyone, but it's really just about moving closer to optimal work and life, making a better tomorrow than today. And on our International Life Coach Radio channel, it's Reclaim Your Health with health coaches Dr. Rachel Haviland and Genevieve Cohn. And on Friday at 1 p.m., they are going to be talking about women reclaiming their health in a physical, emotional, and spiritual level. And on that same channel, on Sunday at 9 p.m., it's the Big Love Weekend Fundraiser. Founder Jason Patrick will chat with Danielle Mercurio, and they're going to be talking about the Big Love Weekend. It's a mini wellness festival and dance party in New York City February 28th through March the 1st. And this weekend is put in place to help raise awareness and funds for God's Love We Deliver. Their conversation will include guests, Gabby Bernstein, Elena Brower, and Patricia Moreno. That sounds really interesting, too. So as you can tell, there's lots of different things that we talk about on our Blog Talk Radio show. There seems to be something for everyone, which is always fun and inviting as well. So hopefully our listening audience can take advantage of one or many of the shows that are coming up. All righty. So I would like to start with just saying thanks to our hosts for just bringing their magic and bringing their expertise and bringing their hearts and their personal situations to the call this evening. Veronica, just great having you back.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. And Jennifer, thank you for coming in and sharing your wisdom. I mean, it's been really, really good. Jennifer, I'll start with you. What's something that you would like to leave on the hearts and the minds of our listening audience?
Well, thank you, Tamara. I've had a great time, and it's always a pleasure sharing listening space with you. Happy to be back in the circle. I would say, you know, pursuant to our topic this evening, the thing that kind of came to mind when you posed that question before the break there, you know, if I was told once that if you're feeling pain, it's because you're resisting something. And I've often found that to be true. And I think when we think about like life-changing events, you know, whether it's career or relationship or, you know, whatever it is, if it's a big life-altering thing and it's something that is in our power to control and we're unhappy, there's usually some sort of resistance. And my experience has been that resistance is oftentimes centered around either not living your purpose or standing in your truth about something. And I would invite, you know, anybody who's feeling that pain, that they're not in that place where it hurts bad enough yet, but that awareness is starting to creep in, that you're not happy with your current existence, whether it be your job or your relationship or just some personal issues you've been dealing with that you just don't want to carry around anymore, that change is possible. And try to bring on some support, whether it's, you know, entering into a professional relationship with somebody, whether it be a coach or, you know, a counselor or mentor, to help you discover what is causing that resistance and where is it coming from. And sometimes that is just coming to a quiet place where we just think about where in our body do we feel it, and we create that awareness around it so that when we're in those situations, we can trust that physical trigger to alert us to, okay, this is part of the problem. And then really being able to get on that path to investigate what it is that's creating that unhappiness and finding the strength and the passion to change it and discovering what it is that you do want and what it is that does make you feel whole and happy, and start taking action towards that. And whether that's just something tiny like making a phone call or picking up a magazine article or doing a Google search, all you have to do is take one tiny step to overcome inertia. Even the smallest, most what could seem like the most insignificant thing can create momentum. And if you want to have something different than what you've got now, you've got to do something different. So one tiny action can create that shift. It does not have to be big. And I think a lot of times we have the misconception that we have to do something huge to create huge change. All you have to do is make it one tiny decision.
True story. Thank you so much for that. We think that it has to be the big old rock that we throw in the ocean, and it's really a little pebble that can, you know, it's not even a stream. We can just throw it in the puddle that we see in front of us. Change is change, ripple is a ripple. It's like, hey, man. That's a big step, that first one, and that's where you get some momentum. So thank you so much for that, Jennifer. Veronica?
Well, all I could say is that, you know, life is going to either hold your hand through this journey or it's going to shove you into it. And that's a choice we all make. And regardless of whichever way you choose to make that journey for yourself, it's all by design, and it's all going to be for the better good for yourself. And mm-hmm. to always remember that although it may be scary and it might be uncertain in the beginning or while you're going through it, it really is exhilarating at the same time. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. There always is. That's the whole purpose of it. And to give ourselves that moment to understand that with every change, there's a struggle period. To not give up during that struggle period, because that is where the golden nugget really lies. What it is that you need to learn from this new journey and the new experience, it's in the struggle. And we try to, as a society, we have been conditioned to not want to struggle, to not be uncomfortable. But that is part of the lesson, part of the journey. And if there is one thing that you can remember from this whole show or from what I've said, is to gift yourself that moment of silence. And all you do have to remember is, if this choice that I'm about to make, is it out of fear or is it out of love? And you can go from there.
Awesome. I should have had you go last. I don't know what I was messing around with.
I was just thinking that. I was like, crap, I should have had her fuck last.
What was I thinking? You know, I always want to, you know, be a great hostess and, you know, not go first. Mm-mm. Lesson learned. The next show we do together, you're going last. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that. You know, struggle is necessary. Struggle actually shows us what we're made of.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows us that we have more in us than we thought. And it's always good to expose that, and so that we can see what it is that we're made of. Yeah, there's so many things I can think of for myself and other people that if you weren't forced to do something a little bit different, you wouldn't have known that you could have done it, that you did do it, yeah. And you lived through it, right? So, truth. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. Well, just to dovetail off of what Veronica said about comfort level, one of the things I have always said, and I still believe it, is that we have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. We have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because that's what change brings. And after a while, the things that you were uncomfortable with actually get pretty comfortable. And it's like, I was up here resisting this thing, and it's like not that bad. It's not that bad. One of my favorite quotes is a Mark Twain quote, courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. So, you know, in that, there's a lot in it. And so it takes a lot of courage, is what where I was going with this. It takes a lot of courage to be in that place of struggle and to be in that place of discomfort. But the outcomes far outweigh the comfortable space, the staying small, the playing small, the staying in something because it makes everybody else feel comfortable and all you're doing is like passing time. You know, it takes a lot of courage to do these things, to live the life that you were meant to live, and it's there for you to live. So, you know, my hope and my prayer for all of our listeners is that you have the courage to want to take that step, that tiny step that Jennifer talked about, to be in that struggle that Veronica talked about, so that you can get to the other side. It's pretty nice over there. It's pretty nice over there. So thank you again for my co-host for really just shepherding this wonderful topic. I think we could probably talk for a couple more hours about it. you know, for you, our listeners, for tuning in. And have a good evening. And we hope that this broadcast is something that you can listen to again and again to help you to break through and get to the life that you really want to live. Thanks again, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, ladies.
All right. Bye-bye. Take good care. Bye-bye.